When you're in need of the news, there's only one place to go. The news from all around the world that no one else will report, except for the Paranormal 60 News team. That's next, right here on the Paranormal 60 News. My little darklings, it's me, Dave Schrader, back in the saddle again, ready to lead you through the entire week's worth of strange and unusual news. But first, tomorrow, I'm flying out to Napanock, New York, for the Shanley Hotel event with me and Scotty the Medium. We do have just a few of the meet and greet tickets and the presentation tickets still available. You can find more information about that at darknessevents.com. All of the overnight ghost hunts are sold out, but you never know. Maybe there was a cancellation. Maybe you'll still sneak in and get a ticket. Who knows? The only way to find out is by going to darknessevents.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let us begin. First, we must summon the Paranormal 60 News crew. Our first and oldest member of the Paranormal 60 News crew. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the author of such books as Messages from Mothman and Diaries of a Paranormalist. And let us not forget Roswell, the After Action Report. You know him. You love him. You can't get enough of him. The paranormal detective, Greg Lawson. Hi, Greg.
Hey, old buddy. I didn't realize I was the oldest, but I am.
Yeah, I know. I think Marty proved he's older than you.
Yeah, he's way older.
Out of the three of us that are going to actually show up for work tonight, ladies and gentlemen, the youngest member of the team.
Hey, Sweetie.
Yeah, there she is. You're hey. The youngest member. You're the like the little sister. Yeah. And she is the author of.
Is Greg dying? Is that why we're being so nice to him?
She's the author of. The ticket counter.
Yeah, look at that. You are looking.
Change my ticket. You upgrade my seats. And then
you look very professional, flight attendant tonight. I like it.
Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Greg and I were slumming. I'm just wearing a little Dark Side of the Moon shirt. Greg's got on some aliens and UFOs. We coordinated
pyramids and stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's cute. You guys, adorable.
But then I guess Sweet Tea is a little bit more prepped because she actually has a UFO out her back window. Just
wow, that's true.
Looking out.
Yeah, it's pretty waiting cool. for me.
I see that. Hey, a little bit later in the show, we're going to discuss my weekend. Guys, two weekends in a row, I just spent at the Haunted Palmer House Hotel. Mm-hmm. And I had an unbelievable time. So many ghosts around. It was nonstop paranormal action.
Is that an actual photo of your time at the Palmer?
No, probably not.
Oh, actual I didn't photo, see that.
It's an artist representation of what it was like to be there. It was so active with ghosts, and part of my glasses didn't even show up. That's how paranormal it was. Yeah. So had a great time. A little later on in the show, I'm going to share with you guys some of the stories and evidence that we captured from the last two weekends.
I can't wait. Yeah. I am.
It's amazing.
I trusted you both this week to pull some news and take a little bit off my plate because I'm just constantly going. Mm-hmm. And I looked at the news stories you guys brought, and boy, I'm impressed. It's like you're professionals
you.
Now.
Nice. Oh my God, that's so sweet.
Wow. What are you, speaking of sweet, what are you drinking? That's almost iridescent sweet tea. What is that?
It's called a blue jean martini.
A blue gin martini?
Jean, as in denim.
Blue jean martini.
Blue jean.
Oh, you could have called it the blue gin. D-J-I-N-N.
I didn't come up with it. Oh, yeah. Dang it.
Yeah, right? What have you got there, Gregory?
I have one of four North Coast Brewing Old Rasputin Russian Imperial Stout that was existence? Left on my front door by a mysterious woman named Kirsten.
It's probably not poisoned.
It's obvious, you know. Hey, nice paranormal 60 cup.
Yeah, thank
you. What you got in there, buddy?
What I've got in here is something new. It's exciting. It's almost as good as Screwball whiskey. It's Doughball whiskey.
We are what we eat.
Cookie dough flavored whiskey.
What?
Yes. Unbelievable. Whoa. Yeah. Yeah. You heard me properly. Even these guys over my shoulder cannot believe that I have got cookie flavored whiskey, but it's true. It's called Doughball.
I drink Doughball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, give me two Doughballs.
Sounds about right.
I'm going to say that in Tombstone this weekend and see if I get punched in the head.
Yeah, well,
that's a good idea.
Ask him for a nice Doughball whiskey on the rocks.
It sounds
amazing. So when you get hit, at least the pain will go away in a very tasteful way.
I'm going to video it.
Awesome. Hey, you are. You're going to be in Tombstone, Arizona. Tombstone. Why didn't you keep reminding people on our show so that they know to come see you? I would be happy to show those banners on here, Greg. You're going to be in Tombstone for the Wild West Paracon or something. Isn't that what it's called?
That's right. Second annual Wild West Paracon. And I was blessed enough to host it this year and last year, actually. So it should be pretty interesting. It's a really cool town. A lot of fun. A lot of history, obviously.
If people show up, are there still tickets? Can they still attend and be a part of the reindeer games with you?
Yes. A lot of the packages have been sold out because they have, they don't have little packages. Their packages are pretty big.
God damn it.
Yeah.
And so they have an angelic package that, it's going to be, an investigation with Amy Bruni. There's going to be, a mine package, and Aaron Sagers and Shane are going to be doing that one. Mm. And so hopefully your schedule is not going to conflict in 2025 and you'll be there as well. We'll stick you way down in a mine someplace.
I'm in. Just let me know. Love to do it. I would love to get back to Tombstone. I have friends there. As a matter of fact, I'll connect you with them because you should go stop by and visit them in their very haunted home right there in Tombstone. Yeah, very good. Well, let's get started because it appears that we have a lot of news, and a little bit later, we have some breaking news about the final Palmer House Hotel event for me for this year. We're going to announce that on tonight's program, so stay tuned. You can be amongst the first to hear about it. All right, Gregory, it looks like you have the first story, sir. Where are we going?
Oh, well, let's go to kind of north central Africa, to Sudan. I was in Sudan in 1985, I think.
Really?
Were you
responsible for this story?
What?
Were you the giant they thought they saw? You are like 6'20".
You know, the soldiers over there in Sudan are pretty tall. They're not real thick, but they're pretty tall.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So a proof of giants, like you said, hidden in the desert sands of eastern Sudan, nearly 200 ancient pyramids line the banks of the Nile River. These mystical structures remain standing throughout the millennia, and the Meroitic kingdom. Yeah, there we go. Meroitic kingdom. Yeah, it's Meroitic. What?
No, you're good. Just keep going.
Once housed the revered kings and queens of Nubia, also known as the Black Pharaohs. Do we need to drink one?
Oh, we did.
We did. Go ahead. You're good. A couple drinks there. Yeah.
Stretching back. What? Meroitic. Mm-hmm. Stretching back 300,000 years, Sudan's history is a tapestry woven with threads of ancient civilizations. The kingdom of Kush, dated around 2500 to 1500 BC, stands as one of the earliest sub-Saharan African kingdoms. Mm-hmm. Its legacy includes exquisite pottery from the famed Kerma beakers. Yeah. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Kerma beakers.
Yeah. Sudan's wealth in gold, ebony, and ivory. It sounds like a song.
Oh, it does.
We could write a song about
that.
That's fun. Attracted attention of ancient Egypt in the old kingdoms, sparking conflicts over control of these prized resources. Yet, Sudan's cultural contributions endure, showcased in artifacts housed in prestigious institutions like the British Museum.
The come in and say, oh, beautiful gold and silver.
Yeah, they need to give that stuff back. It's not theirs.
They I'm sure they paid a fair price for all those things. They still got.
Right. So this is the old town of Meroe, right? The pyramids of Meroe, smaller but no less magnificent than their Egyptian counterparts, reflect a fusion of local Egyptian and Greco-Roman architectural styles. Serving as the final resting places for the Nubian royalty, these pyramids have stood for a millennia, bearing witness to ebb and flow of history. Yeah. In 1821, a French mineralogist, Frederick Cayol, you know, that's French. It's
Yeah, I picked that up when you said a French mineralogist. Yeah,
unveiled Meroe's splendor to the world, unearthing treasures and mysterious artifacts. Among these finds was a captivating painting depicting a colossal figure carrying two elephants. Look at that guy. He's a big dude.
It is.
Hinting at ancient legends of giants. What do you think of that, y'all?
Or fair maybe enough. He just was at the fair and won a couple of stuffed elephants playing the old, you know, milk jug game. And he was just carrying them home for his kids.
Maybe there are baby elephants. There's a lot of baby elephants on TikTok and stuff. People, you know, playing around with baby elephants.
Yeah. I heard TikTok was huge back in Africa.
Legends of giants abound in ancient texts and murals with reference to towering figures capable of feats beyond human comprehension. In 1988, a Swiss entrepreneur, Gregor Spory, stumbled upon a tantalizing relic, a mummified finger purportedly belonging to one of these ancient giants. Look at that thing.
It's huge.
It looks like it's been in the pit for at least 12 hours, you know, like 100.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have anything for scale here? Because it just looks like an old
finger. Yeah, they need to throw a dollar bill out there or something to see what size it is. Despite his efforts to acquire this finger, the artifact remained elusive, leaving Spory to ponder its mysteries. Inspired by the encounter, Spory embarked on a journey to explore the mystifying world of ancient giants, culminating in the publication of his book, Lost God, Day of Judgment. Blending history with imagination, Spory invites readers to ponder the tantalizing mysteries of the past and form their own conclusions. From the silent sentinels of the desert to the whispered tales of giants, Sudan's rich tapestry of history continues to captivate and intrigue, inviting us to delve deeper into the sands of time. Back to you, Dave.
Now, they're saying, because I was doing some poking around, they're saying that this finger is so large that in the comparative measurements, it would have to be somebody 16 feet tall.
What?
Yeah.
That's why they're called giant.
Big hand.
Just one giant big hand.
Big old giant.
Or maybe two. People have big hands sometimes.
You see people with like little big hands, you know, the carnival people with little bitty hands, and then the,
I don't know.
Carnival.
This finger would be attached to a 16-foot person.
That's
because I don't think you could. How could you flip somebody up when the finger is the entire size of your arm? You really hate people when you're giving them the old bird as a giant.
Yes, effort.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty remarkable, though. So, giants. Greg, I know we've kind of touched about it in the past, but do you really believe that there were giants that walked this earth at one point?
I am a rational American male, raised as a Catholic, went through school and everything. Dave, yes, I do. We have giants now. They're not quite that. I mean, you know, when you're talking about an 8-foot person, that's 400 pounds, 500
An 8-foot person. 8-foot
person. This is Texas, my friend. Trying to make
that how you measure things there by the fert. Oh, look at that. Sweet tea almost blue jean gin right out of her nose.
So, I mean, and there's a lot of good history on it. There's a lot of good history of that. And, you know, there is people say, all right, well, where are the skeletons? Well, because they were thought to be Nephilim, or they were thought to be something other than normal human people, or you know, people of renowned giants. Supposed that most of them were either burned, or if they were burned, their skeletal remains were crushed to get rid of them. And you can imagine, I mean, think about the stupid stuff that we do today. Don't like groups of people. You know, you got a few giants, and I'm not talking about like movie giants like that are 35 feet tall. I'm not talking about them, but 12 foot, why not?
The finger belonged to a 16 foot tall individual.
Unless he had really big hands, and he could have been 12 foot.
Thank you.
12 feet with really big hands. Yeah. He'd be like, I'm so embarrassed. Look at these giant hands. I don't know.
Giant pockets.
Supposedly they've uncovered these redheaded giants.
Oh yeah.
The Smithsonian reportedly took possession of the bones and of the things that they found, and then they disappeared. Like,
of course,
like the ark at the end of Indiana Jones.
Exactly.
Yep.
That's what they do.
But why hide the fact that at one point we were giants?
I think we were all giants.
Oh, yeah. Why hide that anybody was a giant? I don't get it.
I think it goes back to religion. I think that, and to me, that, you know, Old Testament, it would have been, hey, this is evidence of what Old Testament is true. But, you know, people are weird, man.
See, it's so contradictory because you would think most things are done to protect the Bible and religion through history. So if we could find giants, because every year there's a new news story. Oh my gosh, we've uncovered an actual location that was mentioned in the Bible. It's real. We've proven it. These times, these leaders, there are enough clues in the Bible to tell us that it was actually written about real places and things. Yep. If we could uncover a giant, I would just think that that would have been to the benefit of science and religion to expose that aspect.
Well, think about your buddy that has exposed all this stuff with the Knights Templar in the United States. Is our historians? Scott Walker. Our historians running out of the universities going, oh, we got to talk to this guy. And where are you? What are you talking about? Let's correct what we've done wrong here. Nope. That takes bravery. That takes taking a chance. It takes, you know, chances that you're going to get fired from your job by, you know, stepping out on your own. But
Addie Firebird says, do bones last forever?
No, teeth last a lot longer. Bones will last in certain ways, depending on how they're covered. And then, of course, then they fossilize after a while if they're in the right.
So then that means bones do kind of survive. That's how we have dinosaur bones.
Well, when I say ever, you know, I mean, come on.
They still have to survive that large amount of time before they turn into fossils, which is unlikely.
Let me just address all of our science-loving fans. If you've come here looking for science,
you're in a bad place.
We are fringe at best when it comes to the realm of science.
And not smart.
We're a lot of, bones don't last unless they're fossilized. And then I think they do.
Well, fossilization is, that's not the bone. That is a replacement of that calcium.
Right. So, but it's a representation of the
bone. It is a representation of it. Yes.
The I got your representation of the bone.
Nothing.
All right. Sweet tea. You've got a story to share. What's going on?
Oh, she contributed?
Yeah. She actually came up with a story tonight to share. And look at her. She has this panicked look in her eyes, as though she knows not of what I speak. Oh, by the way, that book that you were referring to, Lost God, Das Jüngste Gericht, was from...
you need to have that guy on. Maybe he can pronounce some of the stuff that you said.
I don't think so. Probably not. It would be fun, 16-foot guy. That's where that finger would come from. If you're just listening and wishing you could see the picture, you should just go check it out. It's on video. We've got it. All right. Sweet tea, please.
Yeah. Let me tell you about UAPs and mainstream entertainment and news programs.
I wish you would.
Thank you. John Oliver recently tackled the tricky subject of UFOs in Last Week Tonight, acknowledging the challenge of discussing a topic often veering between wild speculation and outright dismissal. But with recent government releases of UFO files, including reports of near misses by pilots, Oliver felt it was time to delve into what we know, what we don't, and the problems with our approach. He clarified that discussing UFOs doesn't necessarily mean talking about aliens. It's about unidentified anomalous phenomena, UAP. Throughout history, people have reported strange sightings in the sky, but modern UFO obsession traces back to a 1947 sighting of flying saucers by a pilot. From the start, there's been a sense that governments withhold information about UFOs, and the U.S. government's history with UFOs ranges from unsatisfactory to actively misleading. Oliver cited the infamous Roswell incident where the government claimed a crashed object was a weather balloon, but later admitted it was debris from a secret research project. Moreover, a CIA study revealed that many UFO sightings in the late 1950s and 60s were due to manned reconnaissance flights, leading to public confusion. While recent efforts like the Pentagon's Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program offer hope, they often raise more questions than answers. Despite the disappointment, there's a shift towards more serious consideration of UFOs, with NASA forming teams to investigate UAPs. Oliver emphasized the need for a scientific, evidence-based approach to studying UFOs, as honest inquiry is essential for addressing big questions. Back to you, Dave.
Man, I don't know why there's still so many questions about Roswell when the definitive book has been written, Roswell, the After Action Report, with a foreword by international TV sensation Dave Schrader and authored by Greg. He wrote this book, Roswell, the After Action Report. And you can actually pick up that book on Amazon. Yeah. As a matter of fact, on today's program guide, just scroll down to Greg at the very bottom of our program guide, and there's links to Greg, and you could find his books and order them, or come see him live at events where he signs copies of his books, and sometimes doesn't weep when you don't buy them. Sometimes. All right, he weeps most of the time. Fair assessment. All right. My stories, as I see here now, are out of
order. You have a story.
I do have a story. I just have to shuffle a few things because my cat, I'm going to blame it on the cat, knocked it off the counter. Here's an interesting story. In a bid to communicate with aliens, scientists claim to have successfully conversed with a whale. How about that? Scientists at the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, SETI, in the U.S., made an intriguing breakthrough communicating with a humpback whale in Alaska as a way to understand potential alien languages. Humpback whales are renowned for their intricate vocalizations, which can span thousands of miles underwater. As a matter of fact, many people call the humpback the Dave Schrader of the sea. I don't know if you know that.
Oh, is that
true? Mm-hmm. Their voices can be heard for thousands of miles.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Despite decades of study, decoding their languages remained a bit of a challenge. These whales exhibit remarkable intelligence, complex social behaviors, and even tool-making abilities.
Mm.
But how, though?
Can they make a peanut butter sandwich?
Oh, good question.
Given a big enough jar of peanut butter and a 16-inch finger, maybe they could. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe a 16-inch thumb.
Yeah. In a recent study, researchers played recordings of humpback whale calls to whales off the Alaskan coast. I've got that audio. Would you like me to play it?
Oh, yeah.
These are the humpback whale calls.
Mm. Hey, Larry! Yo, Larry, you coming over for the barbecue this week?
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Majestic creatures.
Yeah, they are. And you could hear how that carries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's loud.
Miles underwater. Yeah. You know? So barbecues underwater gotta be a tough thing though.
Yeah.
Especially with no thumb to light the match. I got nothing. Well, most let's see. They played the recordings like that one you just heard. While most whales paid little attention, one curious female named Twain circled the scientists' boats, mimicking the sounds for almost 20 minutes. though the exact meaning remains unclear, scientists suspect it was a form of contact call used by whales to communicate. This exchange marks a significant milestone, potentially representing the first human whale communicative. I'll just have a sip on that one. That was.
Come on.
Potentially representing the first human whale communicative interaction in the humpback language, according to the lead author, Brenda McCowan. The study offers insights into how we might communicate with extraterrestrial life, assuming they share an interest in contact. By studying intelligent non-human communication, like that of whales, researchers hope to develop methods of deciphering alien signals. These findings highlight the potential for using playback calls to engage with whales and other non-human species, opening doors to further experimental conversations and interspecies understanding. It's pretty remarkable when you think about it. Some nerd at SETI loved Star Trek so much. The Voyage Home, he's like, what if we could talk to whales? We should give it a try. That's awesome. So, it's a bit of a jump. We've communicated. We've had conversation. Conversation is kind of two-way. Just because you play back a noise and it responds to said noise, you didn't create the noise. You don't know what the noise meant. So I don't know that it's such a breakthrough for them, really. Haven't we been playing whale sound and dolphin chitter back to them for decades now?
Yeah. I feel like this is not the same story we did before, but we did this story before. You keep doing the same thing. I don't.
It's different when right now, it's just switching over to AI. AI is now looking at the patterns of different whale sounds and stuff like that. According to the last article that I read, dolphins actually have names and they actually call each other to come over. Like if they have kid dolphins like or Larry. Whatever, they actually have. Yeah, Larry.
Yeah,
true.
We just heard that.
Getting to that point. And if you think about it, if you can, like I taught with my dog, he knows the difference between bone and pig and a lot of different other things. I tell him to go get the pig. 90% of the time he'll go get the pig instead of the so he knows what that is.
Okay.
So we're getting there, man. And I really think that AI is really going to help us out to breach that.
You think AI is going to crack the code as to what dolphins and whales are saying to one another?
Yes, sir. I really do believe.
Here's the interesting though, right? Because what if we know that like they hang out in pods? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be safe to assume that each one has its own dialect then?
Yeah.
So if I have the Eastern Australian humpback call and it's like,
that's pretty good. Yeah.
Maybe to like the Long Island Sound whale.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't understand what that fool's saying. Maybe there's like a total dialogue breakdown.
So this is true. Is
crazy.
Yeah.
In this article I was reading, they were talking about that and how that these different whales and dolphins, when they migrate and cross over their sections, where they will have one language here and another one will have another language here. And when they cross over, they actually use an interspecies language that's different. And they're recognizing these things. So we're getting really close, man. I bet in the next 10 years, we're going to have something going on that.
I'm excited. I'd like to see, but I don't, again, to what end? So we can communicate with whales eventually or dolphins. You know, to me, it seems like octopus would be the way to go because he's the smartest of the undersea beasts.
But he's not so vocal.
That we know of. He might be talking on like a real high ultrasound.
He does his with color.
Infrasound.
Color. He talks with color.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you?
That's a nice blue tongue you got there. That's
your couch. Blue tongue. Is that from your drink? What did you put in there? The bones of Smurfs?
That's what people put in their drinks. Jesus. Is it?
All right.
I don't think we need to change the outro.
No,
at all.
Shush.
Yeah, yeah. We need to take a quick break. We'll come back, and when we do, Greg's got a story about a former Navy admiral who thinks it's time we stop staring at the skies and take to the seas. That's next, right here on the place for all the news you need to know. This is the Paranormal 60 News. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get. That, wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. The Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond is back and bigger than ever. At Oaks Amusement Park, Saturday, June 29th. Meet Bigfoot hunters like Ronnie LeBlanc of Discovery Channel's Expedition Bigfoot and Paranormal Caught on Camera. And paranormal investigators like me, Dave Schrader of the Holzer Files and the Paranormal 60 Podcast. Join us for a day of family fun celebrating Bigfoot, ghosts, UFOs, and everything beyond. You never know what you'll find. Don't miss the Oregon Bigfoot Festival and Beyond, Saturday, June 29th at Oaks Amusement Park. Get tickets today at OregonBigfootFest.com. OregonBigfootFest.com.
The Oregon Bigfoot Festival. Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
We're back. I'll be at the Oregon Bigfoot Festival. I also happen to know that Sweet Tea and Jenny Monroe from the Monsters Lounge will be roaming about at the old Monster Fest, Bigfoot, Oregon Bigfoot Festival.
That's right, Dave. And then a week later, we're going to go camping right over there, and she's going to murder me. I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive.
Jenny or Bigfoot?
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, both. That actually adds up. That makes a lot of sense. Hey, stay tuned. We've got some more news to share. And then we're going to talk about the haunted Palmer House Hotel in Sauk Center, Minnesota. Big news. I'm releasing the final Palmer House event for the year. But we're going to share some cool evidence and stories that we collected while we were there the last 2 weeks. I was there 2 weeks ago with Sarah Lemos. And then this past week with Dalen Spratt of the Ghost Brothers. Amazing time. Lots of cool stuff going on. But first, let us return to the news. The paranormal detective has the floor. Good sir, from the state of Texas. Where are we going next, sir?
I didn't realize it was me, and I'm up. But let's go to the Navy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to the Navy and to oceans.
Yeah.
Former Navy admiral raises concerns about unidentified objects in the oceans. Wow. It's good that he chimed in now. It's a little bit late, I think. We've had people on. Well, man. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Retired
Admiral
Tim Gallaudet. Yeah, he's French also, Gallaudet. Uh-huh. Former head of the National National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Yeah, little old Rasmussen here.
Oceanic, that's the word that tripped you up, huh? Oceanic. God. Right there. You should have asked me. I would have popped it up.
I could have just said NOAA, but yeah. No, I'm trying to read your thing.
National Oceanic.
I thought you pulled this story, Greg.
Atmospheric Administration is raising concerns about mysterious objects in our oceans, urging attention of what lies beneath the surface. In a detailed paper, Gallaudet highlights the alarming lack of maritime domain awareness, with vast portions of the ocean floor remaining unexplored. I could have told him that. I don't need to write a paper about that. He emphasized the need for greater scrutiny, noting that while the focus often rests on unknown objects in the sky, similar in the sky, is that what I just said?
In the sky. The word is sky. Yeah, there's no silent K in that word.
Similar phenomena are occurring at the depths of the ocean. Gallaudet suggests that there are governments that may not be fully transparent about these anomalies, signaling potential national security implications. Drawing on his extensive expertise, Gallaudet highlights the significance of these findings, not just for security, but also for science. Reports of objects existing extraordinary capability. God, I can't do it.
Existing. I like it. Words is hard. Let's just admit it. Words is hard.
All right.
100%.
So reports of objects exhibiting extraordinary capabilities raise questions about engineering and physics beyond current understanding, with implications for various industries and, of course, defense. Gallaudet's credentials lend weight to his concerns, prompting reflection on the need for further investigation. While recording of oceanic anomalies may be less common, their occurrence in remote areas suggests the potential hidden reality beneath the waves. As Gallaudet implies, it may be time to start asking serious questions and demanding answers about what lurks beneath the ocean surface. Back to you, Dave.
So show of hands, I would love to hear from our audience that is watching along live. Do you believe that aliens are using our seas as a base, or do they live there? Is that where they're from? I'd like to see what
maybe there's more than one thing.
You know, why do you always got to just, here's a monkey wrench. I'm not using it. Let me throw
How's
it
that
in
a monkey wrench. Come on. That's more things. Come on, that's fine.
Yeah, no, it's good. Government and transparent do not go together. I have had clearance. That's what Mark Lanoue says. He is, he'll tell you. He knows the thing. Shell Bell says, abso-freaking-lutely.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny Monroe says, yes.
Who's bait. That?
She hosts
Jenny.
On our network. By the way, she sends you this message. Shut up. USOs are there, Tammy Lynn believes. No doubt about it. Greg Lawson weighs in with a smiley face emoji because he's 12 years old, apparently. Let's see what else. I agree with Sweet Tea, more than one thing. Thank you, Sweet Tea's mom, Melina. We appreciate that. Yes, sirree, Bob from Beth Titus. You know she's serious because she invoked the name Bob. Yes, sirree, Bob. Let's see what we got here. The big eyes and telepathy would make sense for something underwater, according to James Western. Haunting Angels trademark says Yvette from Haunting Angels watching. Hi, Yvette. Welcome to the show. Thanks for watching. We appreciate that. Let me see. Richard Allman says, I believe aliens live at their base. Yeah.
Where's
the base? I think that's a good... Like, that's a very political response.
I believe that we all live in our homes. How about that?
Yeah. Cosmic Joe Chronicle says the old gods are coming and they're pissed. Well, that was a bleak way to end the conversation, Joe. Come on.
That's fair.
I think Joe has something there.
Yeah. Heidi Severson says the pressure problem could equal another dimension when folding within itself. So why not an alien portal?
Hello.
Look at Craig. He reads one article and suddenly he's a scholar. He's Neil deGrasse Tyson. I'm going to call him Neil deGreg Tyson from now on. What do you think?
Thank you.
Yeah, let's see. Atlantis is real. The ocean holds all our mysteries, beings, and creatures. It's big enough, deep enough, and unexplored enough to hold all. That's from JTake 39. Thank you, JTake 39. We appreciate that. Gilberto Lopez says, let's ask Larry.
Larry, he's been paying attention.
Yeah, I like that. Oh, hold on. Lindsay says, Lindsay Holman, yes, my brother was on the USS Independence in the late 80s and way out at sea would see lights at night fly out of the water and into the sky.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that.
Been there, done that.
Music says, yeah, definitely aliens in the sea. So there's no question. Paranormal Pixie says, no.
Why?
But I can't tell if she's responding to somebody else or.
Oh. she's responding to me reading that.
Oh, no picking on Greg today, Melina says.
You're not the boss.
Thank you, Melina.
Are you with the show, Melina?
Thank you, Melina. I appreciate that.
Get out of here.
Yes. Plus Megalodon, obvi. There is that. Yeah, that'll be our new hashtag, Ask Larry. We'll see if I can get Larry to join the show. Mark Lemieux, the future technology would most likely be able to deal with the high pressure in the deep. Well, that's here. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. So part of the concept, and Mark Lemieux, you're into science. Work with me on this. Part of the concept is the way that the craft can fly is that they seem to be not necessarily folding space-time, but creating an envelope, a pocket in front of them, kind of like the deflector shield on the USS Enterprise from Star Trek. So it pushes things out of its way, creating a non-resistant path for you to move through. So if that's the case, then perhaps their technology allows them to go deep into the recesses of the ocean where it is actually pushing away pressure and the pocket, and it's allowing it to get in and under. And sometimes when these take off, I wonder if that accounts for those insane rogue waves, because coming up and pushing that kind of pressure up could cause these 100-150 foot waves.
Yep.
Somebody else has been reading, Greg.
Who?
I don't know. I'm sure somebody else. I don't know who. Crimson Elise asks probably the most important question of the night. Hashtag, where's Chachi? He'd know. Yeah, Chachi would definitely know. It's interesting. So a lot of people do believe that underwater is the base. What do you guys, I'm curious, again, what are your thoughts on all of the concepts that they live within volcanoes as well? And we're seeing a lot of dormant volcanoes starting to come back to life. Are aliens utilizing these more harsh territories? Now, again, think, if they're coming from different places, different planets, and different dimensions, their adaptability might need to breathe the noxious odors that are surrounding volcanoes, which would protect them. And some would live underwater, and they're able to deal with the issues we would not be able to deal with. So it makes sense to me that our planet is really kind of a multi-layered planet. We think of it as, oh, no, there's gravitational pull here. There's breathable air. There's this, that, and the other. But we forget that there are other more hostile climates and elements that would make it possible for beings on other planets or solar systems to possibly live amongst us.
I think we're also forgetting that we're coming at this completely from an earthling mindset that only has our science to understand and deal with. They might have a whole different set of games to play with. Like, they don't have stupid gravity like we have. Maybe it's totally stupid gravity that they have. Who knows? We have no idea what they have or deal with on a daily basis. And the volcanoes, they have sharks that live in volcanoes. Granted, it's water that's in the volcanoes. Yeah, of course.
It seems like you're taking a lot of your science from science fiction books. I could be wrong.
No, you guys don't know about the sharks and volcanoes?
I do not.
Okay, well, Google it, because there are actual sharks. Yes.
What?
They don't swim in lava or anything. It's water.
Well, then I don't think they're really volcano sharks.
They are. Go look it up.
So you remember Scott Cassell's experience was on top of a volcanic vent.
True.
So, you know,
it wasn't a shark in that gold cube.
It wasn't a shark.
Yeah. See,
I got to Google that here. I'll be spelling.
Steve Jones says, do tell. Oh, sweet.
Okay. I have the next story, but I'll Google it instead since you guys can't do it.
No, we're kind of busy. Right. I don't know. Sharkano. Oh, that should be the next movie. Sharkano. Get our friend Jenny Monroe on that Sharkano. Is it just like the volcano blows and there are lava sharks swimming in the lava?
Oh, dude, you're not going to believe this. There's already Sharkano. The undersea volcano where sharks live. Yeah, Sharkano. That's what it is. It's already done.
So did you, sweet tea?
Mm-hmm.
After a night of Schwielen, did you maybe just stay up late and watch some really bad D-level horror movie?
You're looking at the same article that I am.
I'm not.
Listen to this. NASA captures eruption of Sharkano. No lie. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of this
stuff. Is that coming from an article from The Onion, Greg?
No. Smithsonian Magazine.
What is it?
Somebody in the chat back me up, please.
Smithsonian
Magazine. I thought it was common knowledge.
It was on Shark Week, according to Tammy Lynn, so that's good enough for me.
CNN, Smithsonian Magazine, USA Today, Daily Mail. National Geographic. These sharks thrive inside underwater volcanoes.
Loki Trout says, Greg, stop reading about it on IMDb.
Just because I did it once.
Yeah. Yeah.
She can't let go of it, man. She can't let go.
Wow. Crystal Groth is suddenly getting violent. We ate all backing you up, sweet tea. I don't know why she wants to ate you, but man.
I think that's a mistype, but.
Oh, what?
I know.
Yeah. That's crazy. Volcanoes in, or sharks in volcanoes.
Yes.
That's not more to it than that. I think it's a play on words, but yeah.
Well, they're underwater volcanoes. They're in water.
And they're swimming around in warm water. Yeah. Do you want to be in friggin' 42 degree water? Or you want to be in, 90 degree water?
Go on vacation.
700 degree water.
Yes.
Yeah.
It sounds hot. If I'm being honest, that sounds a little hot. A little uncomfortable. Yeah. All right. Speaking of hot and uncomfortable, this next story gets a little weird. Gets a lot weird. Sweet tea, you have the floor, please.
Okay.
Can we just say uncomfortable?
Yeah, this story is weird. This is a very weird story.
It also made me uncomfortable, and also my computer's frozen.
Oh, do you need me to read it?
I got it. Because you guys know what? Oklahoma fisherman believed friend was going to sacrifice him to Bigfoot. In a bizarre twist of events straight out of a campfire tale, a fisherman in Oklahoma confessed to strangling his buddy, claiming he needed to do so to prevent him from summoning Bigfoot. Larry Sanders and his friend Jimmy Knighton were on a fishing trip when Sanders suddenly turned violent, convinced that Knighton was plotting to sacrifice him to the mythical creature lurking in the woods. Sanders, facing murder charges, spun a wild tale of self-defense, alleging that Knighton was in cahoots with Sasquatch and planned...
Defense and cahoots. I like it.
I shut up. And planned to feed him to the beast, but prosecutors saw through the fantastical story, painting Sanders as the real monster of the night.
What?
Killing for catfish along the South Canadian River took a deadly turn as Sanders, under the influence of meth-induced psychosis, wrapped his friend in a deadly chokehold. Knighton's body was discovered the next day, leaving behind a legacy of outdoor adventure and camaraderie. As the trial unfolded, tales of frantic confessions and strained relationships emerged, painting a picture of a chilling crime driven by paranoia and delusion. Despite Sanders' attempts to evade justice, the courts found him guilty of first-degree murder, sealing his fate with a life sentence behind bars. In the end, it wasn't the mythical creature that brought about tragedy, but the very real actions of a troubled man. Knighton's memory lives on as a beloved outdoorsman, forever remembered for his love of life's simple pleasures. Back to you, Dave.
Yikes. That's scary. Although I'm not certain that Sasquatch is so clean in this. We did put in a call to his people, the Paranormal 60 news crew, and he refused to take the call. He was claimed to be busy today. There were things, and he was unable to speak through his interpreter, we did get this statement. That was it. Not real helpful. Didn't give us the information we were seeking. Yeah.
You know, speaking of not getting the information we received, I noticed how you very quickly played off the question on the question of the night. Where is Chachi?
No, because I've told people over numerous episodes that he is currently involved in a major move and remodel and busy with a new job. He just is really tied down. He's hoping to be back with us beginning in May. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've heard that a few times.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he went noodling with Greg one week near the North Canadian border. And wait a minute.
The noodling is where it starts.
Wait a minute. Noodling. Do you know what noodling is? This is the weirdest. Hold some food and then put it down to the bottom of the water.
After a few too many.
A few too many noodles?
There's no food involved. You're just wiggling your finger in the water, hoping it'll bite your finger.
And so then giant catfish, you put your hand in their mouth and they bite because they have teeth and stingers. It seems like I would have better things to do on a weekend.
But what if you were on meth?
Oh. Well, I could kill people in the honor of Sasquatch. See?
There you go.
That's very weird. Do you believe that he believed at any point Sasquatch was telling him to do this? Or do you think that was just a convenient? I think he believed it. I think he was on meth. I don't know. I've not been on meth.
I'm sure he was going through some psychosis, but that sounds like, hey, I was going through psychosis and Bigfoot was going to murder me. It doesn't sound like he thought that.
Are we sure?
I don't know. I don't know the guy.
I don't know, Greg. I mean, you were a former policeman so long ago, and you dealt with a lot of people that were on drugs. Do you think that being in the wilderness, surrounded by the wild, smoking meth, as I guess one does whilst noodling, that you could mistake the tree knocks and an occasional as Sasquatch trying to convince you to kill your buddy?
So there's a lot of different drugs that can give you some psychosis, some hallucinations, delusions, that sort of thing. Meth is probably at the top of the list of the ones that will give you drug-induced psychosis. And I've seen very, very, very violent people on meth. And that would not surprise me, but voluntary intoxication is not an excuse. It's not a defense to prosecution. So therefore he needs to go to jail forever.
Wow.
But do you think that he was violent and he was like, Bigfoot was going to kill me? Or do you think he actually thought that Bigfoot was going to kill him? So
I had a very good friend, that I used to work out with. That was a fantastic athlete. He went to a party, went to a rave, and at the rave, he did some meth. He thought it was ecstasy and he ended up doing meth, and it was such a potent, dose that he took, that a couple of months later, I didn't see him at the gym, and I went to the state hospital, and I was, going to one of the day rooms to do a commitment order, and he's standing there drinking a cup of coffee. And I'm like, hey, man, I thought for a second there, I thought he was working there. I was like, what? Walked up and then I looked at him and he's like, hey, what's up? And he's just freaking completely fried.
Hit of meth.
I don't know if it was one hit of meth. It was enough that he probably back then, this would have been in the 80s. So I don't think anybody was smoking meth unless they were like lacing their weed with it or something. That was typically you're snorting it or shooting it or, taking it in pills. So it whatever like the, dosage
it and
was,
he just kept going.
It created a change in his chemistry in his brain and he's fried for life.
Well, I've heard that there's, not that I want to go off into a spin about drugs, but I heard that synthetic marijuana strips kind of the base part of your brain so that some of that, the sheathing that protects you from making bad choices, is gone and can make you very feral, very animal-like. Do you know if that's true?
I don't know.
Hmm.
But I'm glad to contribute. Expertise.
Yeah, just curious. All right. So let's just dive into the story. I don't know where else to go with it. I guess
I need to get out of here.
Here we go. Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson stirred intrigue on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast by mentioning a cryptic government endeavor called Project Aqua, supposedly linked to UFOs. Despite extensive searches, no such project could be found, leading to speculation about its existence. However, it does seem Carlson may have misspoken, as he later discussed details of a project called Kona Blue related to UFOs from a declassified Pentagon document. In March, the Pentagon's All-Domain Anomaly Resolution Office released information dating back to 1945 about UFOs and UAPs. One program, known as Kona Blue, aimed to reverse engineer extraterrestrial spacecraft, but was terminated in 2012 due to lack of merit. Carlson quoted a section of the document that stated that Kona Blue would include a medical division that would organize data into a threat analysis based on medical findings, including but not limited to A, deaths and injuries as a result of interaction with advanced aerospace vehicles, B, medical injuries as a result of other anomalies, C, collateral injuries, physiological effects to family members. Carlson then said to Rogan, so they're admitting that people are dying. Carlson didn't clarify what he meant and went on to concede Rogan's suggestion that this could all just be disinformation. Carlson's remarks on the podcast sparked discussions about government secrecy and UFOs, raising questions about what may be happening in our skies and underwater. Regardless, Project Aqua appears to be a figment of speculation, while the Kona Blue project was shelved years ago due to apparent shortcomings. So Joe Rogan and Tucker Carlson, boy, Greg, that was a selling point to that story. Interesting couple of guys.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah.
What? Very entertaining.
We put in a call to Tucker Carlson's people. He too could not take the call, but we did get a message from his translator. So very similar in nature. Yeah, very strange. Hey, for those of you horror movie buffs, a new movie starring Al Pacino. He confronts evil in The Ritual. The Ritual is set to premiere in 2025. And it marks a new addition to the horror movie genre, featuring Al Pacino and Dan Stevens. Pacino's role is particularly unexpected, given his rare appearance in horror films. The movie explores the lives of two priests with contrasting dilemmas. Dan Stevens portrays a priest grappling with his faith, while Al Pacino plays his counterpart who faces a troubled past. They unite for a dangerous mission to save a young woman through a series of exorcisms. The premise is inspired by the real-life story of Emma Schmidt, also known as Anna Eklund, whose 1928 exorcism is one of the most well-documented cases in American history. Although The Exorcism of Anna Eklund, a British film released in 2016, also explored the story, it was a low-budget project. The Ritual is poised to be the first major high-quality cinematic treatment of Eklund's tale. The cast includes Ben Foster, Ashley Green, Abigail Cohen. David Medell directed and co-wrote the screenplay with Enrico Natale. And for Pacino, this represents only his second foray into the horror genre. His first was the iconic role in The Devil's Advocate back in 1997 alongside Keanu Reeves. The Ritual promises an authentic horror experience. With its 2025 release, The Ritual shares its name with a 2017 horror movie film available on Netflix. Though the two movies are unrelated, the later adopts a monster movie narrative. So,
right, run that trailer.
Yeah, I wish we had a trailer. They're fired up. I loved The Devil's Advocate.
Great movie.
Keanu Reeves being in the movie, I really enjoyed it.
What?
And Pacino made the devil so good in that movie. What?
What did you say?
I said, despite Keanu Reeves being in the movie, I still enjoyed it.
Hard agree.
Yeah. He's not a great actor.
No.
He's a great, great human. I would like to go on the record, Your Honor, as stating that he is a great human who is very kind, very loving, very giving, very the respectful. Best. No.
Cut it all.
Did you see Bram Stoker's Dracula when he played Jonathan Parker? He was basically just Ted from Bill and Ted.
Stop it.
In that movie, he's like,
let's move on.
Vampire? Are you kidding? That sucked. Right? He was so bad in that movie.
It was weird that they wrote that in there like that.
Yeah, it's. I guess maybe he's just acting up to the to the writer. I don't know. I got nothing. I just did not. I have not enjoyed Keanu Reeves. You know what? John Wick movies, violence aside, I like watching all of the John Wick movies for just
how insanely
dumb and fun they are. But you know what's best about it is he doesn't act. He just moves and shoots and punches. That's it. There's no acting. At no point do I look at him and think, Olivier could have done this role better. Yeah. Nobody could. Yes. There's one man that was born to play that role.
I've never seen a John Wick movie.
Oh, really? They're great.
You should get together with some friends sometime and consider doing that. We have to take just one more quick break. We'll come back, and then let's talk about the Haunted Palmer House Hotel, and I'm going to play for you guys some of the cool evidence that I acquired over the last few weeks. We'll do that next right here on the very best in paranormal programming. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 60 News.
Are you troubled by strange noises in the middle of the night? Do you experience feelings of dread in your basement or attic? Have you or your family ever seen a spook, spectre, or ghost? Then Haunted Magazine issue 41 might just be for you. In issue 41 we have The Enfield Haunting, an interview with Dave Schrader, Danny Robbins, and lots more. Out now in stores, app stores, and online, at bit.ly/hauntedmagazine. Remember, don't be normal, be paranormal.
I have it on very, very good authority that that issue is one of their hottest selling, best selling issues to date. They're almost completely sold out on it. And I will have 82,000 copies for sale at conventions that I may or may not have bought myself.
That's how are you going to get them there? That's a lot.
I've got a mule.
Maybe not bring all of them.
What about a mule? Is that weird?
Oh, Minnesota, no, I think that's
I got a great deal on a mule. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah, we're going to try that. Just going to saddle them up with a bunch of magazines and slap them in the ass and point in the direction I want them to go. And hopefully I'll just see him there when he gets there.
Yeah.
Always seems to work in the movies.
So pigeon mule.
Pardon me? Yeah,
pigeon mule. Homing mule.
Homing donkey. There it is. Yeah. All right, my friends. I am formal. Let's just have a drink to that, shall we, ladies and gentlemen? I am formally announcing a brand new event, the final Palmer House event of 2024, the Palmer House Triple Threat event. We've got medium Sarah Lemos from Portals to Hell, Ghosts of Morgan City, Ghost Town Terror, and the Osbournes Want to Believe. Shane Pittman from the Holzer Files, 28 Days Haunted, and the Searchers. Bill Chappell, engineer and creator of paranormal technology, seen on your favorite shows like Ghost Hunters, Ghost Adventures, The Holzer Files, 28 Days Haunted, and Ghosts of Devil's Perch. I'll be there. Dave Schrader, the lead investigator of The Holzer Files, Ghosts of Devil's Perch, and the lead anchor of the Paranormal 60 News. And Kevin Swanson, the paranormal techie, will be on hand as well. It's a fun weekend filled with fun, friendship, phantoms, and frights. August 16th and 17th, 2024, at the Palmer House. Come see the Triple Threat effect. We are going to have a great time. Tickets are on sale now. So go place your order. Put your ticket sale in. If you're watching us live right now, a fair warning, they are closed. You can't call in and reserve your room till tomorrow at about 10 a.m. Central Time. But make sure to call in right away with you can't get in. You can't just call and book a room, folks. You have to have a special code. And that code comes in the confirmation email once you purchase your tickets for the event. So hopefully we'll get a chance to see you out there. The Palmer House is amazing. We did an episode on it a couple weeks ago live from the Palmer House. And I had so much fun. And we went back with Sarah Lemos that weekend and investigated. This last weekend, Dalen Spratt from Ghost Brothers was there. And I want to play some bits and pieces for you. First of all, I'm going to play this EVP I captured in Lucy's room. Now, Greg, you've been there. Lucy's room is one of the most active rooms. It is believed that Lucy is a former Lady of the Night.
Oh, yeah.
Who sadly met her demise when the Palmer House was a working brothel. I've spent many a night in her room. I've come to terms with Lucy, or I've tried, and I believe she's come to terms with me. And I got the response I was expecting on this. This is kind of a cool EVP. That's electronic voice phenomena.
Oh.
Let me play that for you.
Lucy, are you okay with me being in this room with you? When I'm here, do you go to a different room?
So she's just learned that when I'm there, she just goes to a different room. I'll play that one more time, but you hear me say, hey, when I'm here, do you just go to a different room? And she goes, yes.
Yeah, so, fair.
And when I asked, do you like me being in your room? No. There's that little mumbled no. I kind of looked that over, just go to the real answer of yes when she mentioned she goes to another room. Here we go.
Lucy, are you okay with me being in this room with you? When I'm here, do you go to a different room?
So there we go. Lucy was first to tell me that. Now, when I was there a number of years ago, we were doing an investigation and I had the SLS camera, which is that camera that gives you the stick figures. Mm-hmm. And I caught one of the most dramatic pieces of footage, and it's a cool piece of footage. We were sitting there in Lucy's room and my friend was sitting in the other chair, not Lucy's chair, when a figure mapped in behind the chair, stepped around and sat in the chair. And when my friend, I said, oh, Lucy's here. She's right near you. My friend started talking to her and mentioned that she was glad that Lucy could make her presence known. She just lost her grandmother. And while she's telling that story, Lucy leans over and kind of pats my friend on the knee.
Oh,
so very sweet. When suddenly another figure pops up behind the chair, Lucy stands up and moves closer to my friend as though she's creating like a buffer zone. And this figure kind of gets real janky and then it climbs up the wall into the other room. So it goes under the overhang into the other room and then comes back out. It just looks like this giant spidery thing. And then it turns into a human form again and froze my camera. So I thought, well, you know what? I've never thought to ask if Lucy had any insight on this. And here's what we caught.
I was here with you a couple years back. There was another person here with us. Climbed up the wall and climbed over the underhang into the other room. Was that human?
Yeah. So I ask, was that human?
Holy cow.
Yeah. Very emphatic answer. We'll play it again for you.
I was here with you a couple years back. There was another person here with us. Climbed up the wall and climbed over the underhang into the other room. Was that human?
Yeah, music. Yikes. Yikes is absolutely right. Heidi Severson was there this weekend. She got touched by a ghost. It was her birthday, so maybe it was a little birthday ghost. I don't know. She goes, that's where I got touched the first time several years ago in Lucy's room by her chair where Bill Chappell was sitting. You know, what's funny is I love all the answers here. Oh, hell no. No. What the F? Yeah. Here we go. What is this one? Jen Newman says, oh, that just gave me full body chills. Yeah. So that was very upset. What does Kevin say here? Kevin Morales says, whoa, what the F? Okay. I'm not sleeping tonight. Thanks for that, Dave. Right. So
I
have to sleep in that room every time I'm there. funny thing, when Bill Chappell first built the SLS camera, it was this big concoction. And he had it on one of those like AV rolling carts that she used to have in high school. Yeah. And so he's rolling it down the hall. And when we get to Lucy's door, I sling the door open and he rolls the camera and this thing drops on all fours and runs at the camera. this stick figure drops and just crawls across and Bill gets, look at his face and just pulls the thing away and moves down the hall. He's like, yep, nothing to see here, folks. So very weird. This was kind of interesting. We were doing some spirit box sessions because I was with my graveyard shifting buddy, Dalen Spratt, and we broke out the spirit box, and he got an interesting response on this question.
How long have you been here in this hotel?
Oh, I clipped it a little too much, but you can hear it say very long.
How long have you been here in this hotel?
So we got a quick response of very long, very cool. Yeah. When I was there the very first week, 2 weeks ago to do this, I was not having a lot of success getting EVP in the furnace room, which is a place that's always been extremely active and paranormal. Shadowy figures. A lot of people were seeing shadows walking in and out of that room, moving around the room this weekend. But I did not get any EVP in there, which was really strange because usually there's a few different characters that come forward to let me know that they're around, and I got nothing. So I decided, well, I'm going to break out the spirit box. Maybe I'll call to the children. And there are children spirits that seem to reside here in the Palmer House. We don't really understand why, but there are children spirits. So we thought, well, maybe I can, I'll call them in. And let's try to have some fun. Let's play a game. And this might be one of my all-time favorite EVP. And this is using the spirit box. Check it out.
Would you like to play a game? Do you know the alphabet? If I say some letters, can you say the letters right after it? A, B, C.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
So that's pretty cool. Again, I've never had a response come that quick and that concise to it again. I'm going to play it again. So you hear me ask, can you, say a few letters. Can you say the next letters? And I say A, B, C, and it quickly, although I kind of question D, E, it almost sounds like he says D, E, M, or is it F? I don't know. You guys be the judge of it.
Would you like to play a game? Do you know the alphabet? If I say some letters, can you say the letters right after it? A, B, C.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Now we're expecting to hear D, E, F. So, or was he starting to spell demon and I cut him off? D, E, M. Oh, yay! And he's like, I wasn't done.
No, I wasn't done.
I wasn't frightening them at all. What do you think of that, Greg? You look kind of smirky.
Yeah.
What's up? No, that was the DEF thing. Yeah, that is pretty amazing. That's, you know, as you know, whenever I'm doing any kind of EVP stuff, I'm looking at some math on it and the odds of what the response would be and how it would make sense. And when you do ABC and you follow it with DE, let's give him the benefit of the doubt that he had one too many Rasputins that night. And
Rasputins? Yeah. Is that what you meant?
Rasputins.
That's some Rasputins.
Yeah. One too many Rasputins. Mm-hmm. And he said DEM.
All right. Now, a couple people are saying they heard maybe even a G in there. Let's give it one more try. Oh. I don't know that I heard that. Let's try it.
Would you like to play a game? Do you know the alphabet? If I say some letters, can you say the letters right after it? A, B, C.
Oh my God.
Thank you.
Well, when everybody's going, I do hear it say G. There is a G in there. I'll play it one more time now that we've heard it. So it's like you hear D, E, F. There's a little pause. Everybody starts, and then you hear him go G.
Would you like to play a game? Do you know the alphabet? If I say some letters, can you say the letters right after it? A, B, C. Thank you.
Yeah, they're saying next time I should sing the alphabet. I've done that too. This was quick, one of the quickest responses I've ever had. I've had one letter, maybe two happen before. And like you, Greg, it's like, what are, you know, maybe we caught a part of a sentence that just right. said. So, but when I, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, right? That's bonkers.
Totally bonkers.
Yeah, that's what I said, bonkers.
Totally so, bonkers. Yeah.
All right, whatever. I get it. You got to be better. no, that was an amazing time. I can't wait to get back there. Again, if you guys are interested in joining us, we are returning.
Me and Greg?
To the Palmer House. No, the people.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. August 16th and 17th, the Palmer House Hotel Triple Threat. Sarah Lemos, Dave Schrader, Shane Pittman. Come on out. Be a part of the investigation with us. Bill Chappell will be there. Kevin, I like to dance on bars. Swanson will be on hand. He's always there for a good time. I do want to mention a couple quick things. I will be in Mankato, Minnesota. Meta Para Pro presents Mankato Psychic Paranormal and Wellness Fair, May 4th and 5th. I will be out there at the Country Inn and Suites Mankato, exploring the unseen mysteries of the universe. And Winnie Schrader will be there reading tarot. So you'll be able to come out and get a reading. And then Hillview Manor. And there are still tickets available if you would like to join me at Haunted Hillview Manor in Pennsylvania to investigate what I believe is one of the truly coolest, most haunted locations I've had a chance to visit and be out there. It's going to be May 11th. Man, come on out and have a good time. If you've been sitting on the fence and would like to have a paranormal experience, I honestly believe Hillview Manor is going to deliver for you. You can find more information at darknessevents.com. And then later on in the month of May, I'll be at Parapsycon along with many other amazing guests, and we're going to have a great weekend, May 17th through the 19th at the Ohio State Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. Mansfield, Ohio Reformatory is where they filmed the movie
Shawshank
Redemption, Air Force One, yeah, a bunch of other cool movies. So come on out, check it out, be a part of it. Darknessevents.com is the website, and there you can find all the places I'm going to be this year and get an opportunity to come out and investigate with me, do Q&As, meet and greets, and free hugs.
I would love to do.
Free hugs? You got it. Come here, buddy. Yeah.
Parapsycon. Never done that one.
You should come out for it. It's a good one.
Yeah, why don't you do it?
Tickets are still on sale, Greg. Come on.
You know.
What's the problem?
I can get you the 5% off. I like it.
I have issues.
We know that.
Oh, everyone knows we have issues. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'd love to see you come on out and be a part of it. And hopefully you will. And hopefully very soon we will be back up to full staff with Chachi and the Colonel returning to their respective places as we bid fond adieu to Sweet Tea, who was only settling in until Chachi and the Colonel came back.
Man.
You're going to.
I'll make you a cake.
Making a cake. We can't get rid of you now, Sweet Tea. People have tattooed your name as part of the team. Get her. Wow.
Get her.
So yeah, it's we're gonna keep Sweet Tea around. She's
yay! And that stupid outro to Greg.
Yeah, we'll fix that. You got it. And all right, that's it for this week. Another fun example of three friends just having discussions about the supernatural. And remember, check the links on today's program guide so you too can buy Greg Lawson's books and find all of his great books. And once you've made your way through his books and you're looking for something else, something a little different, something that you'd like to read, don't forget my book is out right now as well. It's available on Amazon.com in both physical and electric form ebook. Or physical form, or you can order it directly from my website at paranormal60.com, and you can get signed or unsigned copies. As a matter of fact, I'm going to let you get your hands on my package. If you go to my website, you can get your hands on my package and get not one, but two of my books, The Other Side, A Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, or you can get the package that includes The Other Side and Theater of the Mind, both books. One great price. Go check it out. That's it for us. Thanks a lot for being here, you two. It's a pleasure always. And again, the name of the drink is called the Blue Jean.
I don't remember. I didn't find it on my stuff.
Blue Tongue.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. Look at that tongue, man. Do it again.
She's like an iguana. She's like a rare iguana. eyes and all.
Have a good night, everybody. We'll see you.
Tongue scraper.
We'll see you next week.
It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The paranormal 16's on. It's just for paranormal freaks like me. With poltergeist and ghosts and blues and UAV. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts a snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dream that the aliens are taking me away. I'm gonna wake up to shots I'm late on Saturday. It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The paranormal 60's on. Traitors on. Traitors on. Traitors on. Sweet tea. Hachi and the colonel and the paranormal. Detective, all we traitors got me and they all will be corrected. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Traitors on. Traitors on. Wednesday night, don't be alone. The paranormal 60's on. Now one day they might even put me on a show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement, man, I live down there, I know. It's Wednesday night, don't be alone. The paranormal 60's on. Traitors on. Words is hard.
Larry, remember to bring the potato salad for the barbecue.